Now on Our Town, joining me is Megan Messmer. She is the chair at the Western Lane Emergency Operations Group. And one of the reasons I wanted Megan to come in was because last month we had a 9.0 earthquake in Alaska, and people were asking questions, well, why didn't we hear anything here of an official notice? So Megan's going to talk a little bit about that and give us some information on why we didn't, when we will, and good morning.
Good morning.
So it was a bit of a consternation for some people going like, well, I didn't get a text or I didn't hear a siren. Now, explain a little bit about why that didn't happen.
Yes. So last month we did have that earthquake. It did happen in the middle of the night. So what your emergency management team was doing behind the scenes, was having conference calls, trying to figure out exactly what happened, where it happened, and what that meant for us in Florence.
And this happens over a very quick period of time.
Yes.
That they do this.
Yeah. Yes. So my phone call came from Chief Turner. He had already been talking to our emergency manager at the county, Linda Cook, and our other chiefs in the region, Chief Langborg, talking to the ambulance district, and of course the sheriff at Lane County, trying to figure out what we needed to tell people, if we needed to put them on alert for a possible tsunami, and what the messages coming out of the National Tsunami Warning Center meant at that time. Fortunately, nothing happened here. We are very thankful for that.
Mm. And they knew quite early on that nothing was going to happen, right?
Yes. So we had not received an official warning. We had a watch. So that meant that something had occurred, a distant earthquake had occurred, and to be on alert that there would be more messages following. So there are three levels of alerts, and that watch is just that watch to see what's happening.
Yeah.
Yes. So as that came in, we had determined we didn't need to put out an alert through our messaging system because we weren't asking people to do anything at that point. Many people received alerts through different
mediums
and systems. I received probably three different systems that sent me alerts, including our local emergency management. But we did not put anything out at that time because we weren't asking the public to do anything. There wasn't a call to action. One question we've got quite frequently is, why didn't the tsunami sirens go off? And that's important to know. When the tsunami sirens go off, that's a tsunami warning and you need to start evacuating.
I mean, that means imminent danger, right?
Yes.
When you hear that.
Yes. Yeah. So the primary purpose of those tsunami sirens is to alert people who are outside, people who are on the beach, especially visitors who may not realize what's happening or know that if they hear there was an earthquake, that they need to tune in to Coast Radio or what, where to get that information. So it's primarily for people who may not be in the know.
Right.
The tsunami sirens are beneficial in that piece that we can set them off, but they should not be your only way of finding out that you need to evacuate. As we all know, we get rain, wind, fog. All those can make it hard to hear those tsunami sirens. So depending on what direction the wind's blowing, you may not hear them. We get that frequently, that they must not be working because they didn't hear them during the test day. But that's just usually natural factors that have caused it to not be as effective.
Well, and again, if you live on the east side of 101,
yes,
for the most part, you don't really want to hear them.
Correct.
I mean, you will. It's nice to know that there is something going on, but you're not as in imminent danger as the people that are on the beach and beach property.
Correct. So we do only have four tsunami sirens. There's one at the Justice Center, one kind of near Driftwood Shores, Harbor Vista, and then one at Rolling Dunes Park, which is on 35th by the tennis courts. So those, again, their aim is to get people who are on the beach or who may be outside and are in that imminent danger. For people like you and me, we should sign up to get alerts through AlertSense, which is the platform that Lane County uses to put out their alerts. And then again, the city and our West Lane Emergency Operations Group uses that as well.
And they can do that through a texting app on their phone, right?
Yes.
Usually through texting.
Yes. So it's Alert Me is what we call it in Lane County. If you go to the city's website, it's actually linked on the homepage how to sign up. On that platform, you can say what types of alerts you want. So you can get alerts for tsunami warnings, severe weather, wind storms, landslides. There's a whole slew of things you can check.
Is it just weather related, or do they have things like child abductions and stuff like
that? There are things like that. that Lane County does put out. So you can select, I think there's probably 15 different items. Now that's if you would receive those automatic alerts. Mm-hmm. If you're just signed up and haven't checked anything, when Lane County, when we put out an alert through our dispatch centers, you would automatically receive that whether you've checked anything or not.
Okay.
So that would be why some people received alerts on the tsunami watch and others didn't, because we didn't push something out separate from the national alerts.
Right. Okay. So
I would recommend that. You can sign up for alerts from Oregon Emergency Management and the National Tsunami Warning Center through Twitter. You don't have to use Twitter. You just have to have a login and select that you want those push alerts. You can be like me and do nothing else on Twitter, but still get those alerts because that's their main way to push information out to people. And you can always go to tsunami.gov. Their homepage is any current alerts that are out there across the Pacific Ocean, and they do the Gulfs as well. So.
That's a pretty easy thing to do then. It's
yes.
Something to have that information because you certainly don't want to be woken up in the middle of the night unless you absolutely have to be.
Yes.
Imagine.
And those are the cost benefits that we weigh as well. Do we send out an alert that essentially tells people this happened, but you don't need to do anything?
Yeah, it's kind of like fine. Yeah, I get it.
So you create some panic that may not be necessary. So those are factors that we weigh at our local level for anything that we push out that's individualized to the Florence area, which of course includes both north of town and south of town and Dune City when we put out that information.
And again, like 2 years ago, you know, they had their standard was make sure you have a 3-day pack ready
yes.
to go. Now, through the different meetings they've had and conferences they've had, they decided that, well, 3 days, especially in a place that's separated by bridges like
yes.
we are, 3 days isn't enough, is it?
No, it is not. The national standard is you need to be able to take care of yourself for 72 hours, which is 3 days. But we let everybody know that you should be able to take care of yourself and your family and your pets for at least 10 days. That includes food, water, and anything else you may need. Medications, which often gets overlooked, making sure that you don't wait till, you know, your last dose to refill your prescription,
right.
things like that.
Have your backups.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like me, the first thought that went out when I got the call from Chief Turner is I should have filled my car up with gas the night
yes.
before. But I
yes.
thought I can just wait a couple until the morning.
Right.
So making sure you don't let it go too low because you never know when it may happen. And
but then again, you know, surrounded by bridges, you may not get to go too far in your car if we have a massive 9.0 earthquake.
True.
But it's good just in case. You
yeah, just things
one.
That you should change your
right.
habits.
Change
you can't
no.
take 8 a.m. for granted because
right.
That's when most things open.
And a lot of people, you know, they don't drink a lot of water on a daily basis. They forget to do that. But when you don't have it, all of a
yes.
sudden you're like, oh, my. You know,
yeah.
you forget what water means to us here.
Yeah, and it's very important. And having that water supply or a way to filter water will be important if that ever happens.
And, of course, food, clothing, blankets, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, because it could happen in the winter, could happen in the summer. You never know when it's, and it's always cool here. So
being able to take care of yourself for at least 10 days, we are surrounded by bridges. Mm-hmm. Every way in is through a bridge or the ocean, which as we plan, knowing that they could get ships in or somehow bring things that way, but that would take a long time.
Right.
So there's a lot of unknowns. So being able to take care of yourself
pets
is key.
Too.
Pets too.
Yeah, don't forget your pet.
As we plan for shelters in the event of a large emergency, we do plan for that as well. We have identified one shelter on our list or one shelter area that would be able to take pets in. The others are assembly points and shelters for people, but knowing that people care about their pets. I care about my pets.
Right.
I wouldn't want to just leave them at home. And that's often the mentality which can cause those people to stay in danger because they don't want to leave their pets.
Right.
It's important to know if you live in the tsunami zone and what that means. There are two different tsunami zones that we identify along the Oregon coast. The first is the local tsunami zone, which would occur if there was an earthquake that happened on our Cascadia subduction zone fault line. And then the second is the distant tsunami zone, which is what we saw with the Alaska earthquake or one in Japan or somewhere further than our own subduction zone. So knowing which one you live in and what that means, of course, the local subduction zone comes in much further because it's closer. But on those maps, which are on our website, we identify the assembly points, some evacuation routes, where the emergency shelters are. The event center is an emergency shelter, for example, and there are several others around town. That tsunami map in a snapshot will tell you the majority of what you need to know for that specific disaster. And again, there's a separate one for Dune City, which is also on our city website, and they have it as well. And they're available in paper form at the police department, the fire department, city hall when it's done. Mm-hmm. And they're all on the website too. So I have bookmarks on my phone so that I can quickly look at things like that, as well as the tsunami alerts and tsunami.gov.
Of course, it's good to have a paper copy, too, because you never know when cell service might go out or something.
Correct.
And now, basically, when I was talking to the USGS, there's several kinds of earthquakes, but the one in Alaska was a slip strike where the two pieces passed over one another. Mm-hmm. But our subduction zone is particular the kind that would produce a tsunami because of the lift involved. In that.
They're colliding, I believe. So it would be pretty severe if the Cascadia subduction zone...
Give us a good jolt.
Yes. And if that happens, you should start evacuating because you will feel it.
Yes.
And that's, again, something we prepare for. If the ground's shaking, start moving once it stops because we won't necessarily have a long lead time. It could be 10 to 15 minutes to alert people. And by that point, you should already be moving.
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to a distant tsunami where we may have 4 to 5 hours.
And again, just to remind folks, a watch, we may not necessarily get any information on that until you guys deem it a dangerous situation for us.
Correct. So tsunami.gov has some good information on what those three levels mean. So there's just an information statement. There's the watch, which is what we received, an advisory, and then a warning. And you can read all about those on our city's website under emergency management or at tsunami.gov.
Well, thank you so much, Megan Mesmer. She's the chair at Western Lane Emergency Operations Group. Good information to have. So you folks that have your watches on your phone, remember that when you get them, don't freak out. If it's just a watch, more information will come.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Coming up next on Our Town, we'll be talking with Joshua Green on the book, The Essential Marilyn Monroe, a book that also happens to be in our radio auction this week.